Talia, thank you for joining us today on Carve.
Thank you for having me.
You have curated the pleasurable, the illegible, the multiple, the mundane. What inspired the exhibition's title?
It is a bit of a wordy one. It came out of a conversation with one of the artists, Dylan Mira, and we've been in communication for about 5 years now. She lives in LA, and we've met a couple of times when I've been there and just sort of had an ongoing correspondence about her practice. And she, the sort of content of the work that's in the show is about her search for her great-grandmother in South Korea and her practice as a shaman under Japanese occupation when it was outlawed. And Dylan was telling me about it, and she wrote that she was looking for the pleasurable, the illegible, the multiple, and the mundane. And I just thought it was, you know, such a beautiful phrase and encapsulated so many of the themes that I'd been thinking about and the works that I'd been looking at. So I stole it with her permission, basically.
Amazing. Yeah, her video work, As If I Was a Thing I Could Do in the Dark, is derived from smartphone images. However, the work also includes captions such as All Nature is Second Nature and Tell Me You Are Looking for Something, just to name a few. What is Dylan saying here?
Well, as I said, it's a work that is very personal for her. So in 2018, she went to South Korea on sort of a research trip and went to Jeju Island, which in particular has a history of shamanism, and was trying to connect with, you know, I guess the spirit, or what, however you sort of term it, she would term it spirit, of her great-grandmother. So she collected all this video footage, as you said, but also she does a lot of automatic writing, which has a poetic bent to it. So those sort of sentences came out of her automatic writing process, which is a very organic process that she does kind of first thing in the morning, but also conversations with different people on the island who are part of that history, or who are sort of, who have a knowledge of that time in Korea, as well as she spent time in the demilitarized zone between North and South Korea. And so it comes from kind of, it's a collage, a mashup, if you will, of her travels and experience. And it's supposed to be experienced in that kind of layered way in the gallery as well.
Fantastic. And another work which uses smartphone images is Jack Ball's installation PDA, which is made up of digital collages which have been draped over aluminium pipes. And when viewing their photographs, I spotted body hair, shells, mesh, as well as a smiling dolphin. How is this work exploring representation?
Well, for Jack, you know, they start with photography, which is sort of, you know, has such a deep history of representation and so-called, you know, natural representation. But as we know, it's very mediated, very manipulated. And for Jack, as you said, they have a sort of personal archive of imagery of their own body and their partner's body that they developed through. So this series was developed through a particular set of travels, and they were kind of doing private performances of a kind, like across hotels and in bathrooms and showers and various sort of private places on their travels. But I think what's key to their work is that they are exploring the sort of agency in representation and what they call self-assemblage. So how they can, you know, create images of bodies that they want to see that might not necessarily be out there in the media already, and playing with the medium of photography, which does have a lot of kind of play to it. So as you said, they do digital collage, but they also do analog collage. So literally, you know, cutting and pasting images together and then re-photographing those images. And they talk about the body as material, you know, our skin, our tissues, our liquid, the clothing that we wear, things that can really be played with and manipulated. And, you know, the colours can be really ramped up and pixels sort of pushed to their limits of distortion, those kind of things.
Yeah, it's funny, like their work is so polished, yet you can see the grainy pixels throughout the work, which for me resonates with post-internet practice as well.
Yeah, definitely. They are of a generation, you know, that has grown up with the internet and with sort of like, you know, so-called post-internet art at kind of the forefront. But obviously there is sort of a longer connection with photography and advertising that leads into the internet. So they are playing with all of the sort of potentialities of the medium and, you know, notions of representation, particularly for them as it results to trans representation, but more broadly too.
Beautiful. And Fanny Sosa's video performance lecture, Cosmic Arse, investigates twerking. Why is this dance style so significant?
Well, you know, I've learnt a lot about twerking through this work. So twerking is sort of a mix of two words, twist and jerk, and I guess is more familiar to people as sort of, you know, an appropriated dance form or kind of like an erotic or sexual dance form that we might see in like music videos, you know, Miley Cyrus or, you know, something that's quite, pop cultural, I suppose, of this time. But what Fanny is sort of stressing throughout this is that it actually has sort of a deeper history that is part of remembrance and pleasure for many communities. So communities of colour and particularly indentured communities. She terms it a method of anti-colonial resistance and talks about the way that actual like physical moving on the of the hips, like the gyration, could have displaced a fertilized egg and sperm, so an embryo, from like dislodging it out of the uterus to prevent pregnancy. So you know, this sort of, you know, as I said, innocuous dance form has a history of critical importance for fertility, really. So she frames it as sort of a way of controlling reproduction and as a sexually liberating act.
Yeah, it's a super interesting subject matter, and the work itself is so striking. Fanny's used this waterfall green screen backdrop, and is the footage sourced from YouTube videos?
Yeah, so similarly, it's a mashup. So it's YouTube, different music videos, and also her sort of twerking live, you know, doing performances, or if you want to call them performances, like twerking in various places around the world. She also does what she calls like pleasure workshops. So she's done a lot of like twerk shops for different communities and at different institutions. So footage from those as well.
Wow, twerk shops. I absolutely love that. Yeah, and Ellen Cantor's Secret Diary Webcam Confessionals is a very intimate work. What was Ellen Cantor commenting on?
Well, the interesting thing is that we don't really know, and I think that's something that's key to this work for me, that it was found after her death. She died of lung cancer, and it was, yeah, just found as part of her belongings, and it is, you know, it's a very personal, kind of haunting, funny, devastating work, even though it's just sort of a simple talking to camera, talking about her parents and her childhood and her lovers and her sort of conception of herself. But it is really, you know, whether we take her at her word and trust her on that, or if it's just a fanciful narrative that she's made up, we don't really know. Which is something, you know, as I said, was intriguing for me about the work. But as a practitioner, she was, you know, sort of an amazing kind of feminist filmmaker, well sort of ahead of her time and kind of largely unacknowledged in her lifetime. And she was very daring with sort of modes of sexual identity, and particularly looking at feminist representations of self and of empowerment and of, you know, what is private and what is public, and blurring that line, and doing these sort of confessional videos before YouTube confessionals were, you know, everywhere in our faces, and before sort of Big Brother, before we were accustomed to that kind of medium. So, you know, it was really sort of groundbreaking work, and she hasn't been seen in Australia very much at all. So I wanted to, bring her work into the show and share it with audiences.
Yeah, I definitely got a lot out of her work. And another artist you included was Louise Bourgeois's work, Do Not Abandon Me. Why did you select this piece in particular?
Well, a connected work in the show is a piece of writing by Louise Bourgeois, and she's, you know, was such an amazingly prolific artist, but she also has, aside from all her work, she also has thousands and thousands of writings and letters and diary entries and sort of notes to self that she accumulated, which were only found again after her death by an assistant. And I saw one of those in a small archival show about 7 or 8 years ago, and it had always stuck with me. And it was sort of a list of her failings, you know, as she saw it. And it sort of is, you know, I have failed as a wife, as a mother, as an artist, and the list goes on. And the last line is, I've not failed as a truth seeker. And for me, that's sort of a central and grounding work for the show. So the work that you spoke about, Do Not Abandon Me, is a connected work, which is a dry point, sort of similar to an etching, and it's a mother connected to a baby through an umbilical cord, and they're both sort of encapsulated in a private bubble. And Louise was 89 when she made the work, so sort of, you know, even at towards the very end of her life, was still processing this relationship with her mother and with her parents, and this sense of abandonment that sort of plagued her whole career. And I was just interested in a sort of interpersonal relationships and, you know, the simple but very complex issues around love and parenting and being, you know, a child and a mother and, you know, a lover and a friend and all our other relationships in all their manifestations, and how we sort of are constantly dealing with those dynamics our whole lives. So that was, you know, that's a critical part of this exhibition.
Wonderful. Talia, thank you so much for joining us on Carve today.
Well, thanks so much for having me.